Out of Bounds with Falk and Dutch.
We are too wild and crazy guys.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
I've been gone for too long. Think it's time I bring it back. I've been gone for too long.
Out of context. I love it. 36 degrees for low. Let's go to the phones. Is this Andrew? This is not Andrew. All right, so we lost Andrew. We're going to have to get Andrew back. Andrew Whitman talking with us about a little mental toughness here for a little bit. I want to talk to him about a couple of different things related to mental toughness that we haven't discussed with him. I don't think yet. You know, sometimes with mental toughness, sometimes the same thing manifests itself in different ways. Sometimes it manifests itself like in a different scenario. So, like, we'll ask him about it a couple weeks later. And just get a little update based on the situation that exists right now. Based on the thing that we're worried about right now. So we're going to do that a little bit this morning. Do we have Andrew back? We do. We have Andrew Whitman. And we're so glad to have him here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
What's up, guys?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Now, I got a couple things to ask you. First of all, this college football poll. I got to ask you about this first. How dumb is it that Florida State wins every game for 2+ years and then is dropped down below a team whose best win is maybe the most fraudulent team in America?
Yeah, you know, I think the committee are human beings, and I think they're just like, you know, one, it's like drip Chinese torture with the Florida State stuff with off the field.
Yeah.
And I think it's just wearing on them, to be honest with you. And it has nothing to do with, you know, I don't think really play on the field. You know, I think it's just human beings, emotion gets involved. We just get tired of it. And it's kind of like a little signal that they're getting tired of it. That's all I think it is.
All right, now, Andrew, I want to ask you this, because if I'm Florida State now, and I know it's not the worst thing in the world, but from a player standpoint, you've done everything you can do this year. You have controlled what you can control, and you've done nothing but fall. You were at number one, now you're at number two, and now you're at number three. And as a player, there's a chance that you sit there and go, hey, man, this is not good enough. And you press and press and press, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. How do you avoid that? Maybe from a coaching standpoint, teaching, speaking into the lives of the players, or from a player standpoint, how do you avoid that mentally going into that hole where, hey, we have to press, we have to be perfect on everything, or else we're going to drop some more?
Well, if you focus on that, you're obviously your brain activates differently. Let me just use an example, because not everybody plays football at that level, but a lot of people play golf. So if you're a weekend golfer, okay, and you do a pre-shot routine, the activation of the brain regions, it's different than somebody who is a professional or an expert golfer. They've mapped this out. So in a weekend golfer, the regions that fire off are the emotional stimulation, information filtering. So it's all emotional intrusions of doubts, uncertainty, and fear-based thoughts, just what you just said. What if it's not enough? What if it's not enough? And in the expert golfer, all right, their pre-shot routine is a whole different set of brain regions that fire off. It's their vision, their attention, and motor planning. So the expert has rerouted the electrical current of his thoughts or her thoughts to go to a completely different area of the brain. It bypasses doubts and fear base, and it allows that expert, that performer, to perform at the highest levels and have fun doing it. So I think if these guys get back, they reroute, you know, and they get off the fear base, and you act like experts, and you fire off those areas of the brain that's now, it's vision, it's attention, it's my motor planning, it's my proprioceptors, which is my nervous system, is making my body function the way it should be. You just reroute and get around that. At that point, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the committee says. If you win out, you win out. You do everything that you can do on the field. Florida State has not done everything that they could do on the field. I think even Jameis Winston this week said, you know, hey, I haven't been playing. I've been holding the team down. I haven't been playing right in the first half. You know, interceptions. I already had like 11 interceptions this year already, and he only had 10 last year, the whole year. So I think we got to get out of that. You know, they have to switch from, oh, my gosh, we're falling. What are we going to do? Which fires off doubts and uncertainties, and get back to firing off motor planning, vision, and attention and focus. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does. Now, I want to take you to high school for just a second, because we're talking about a little bit younger group of kids. When high school football started last week, there were two teams, two schools, one was in the upstate and one is not, who were put into the playoffs because two teams were suspended from the playoffs for fighting. After they appealed to the high school league and the high school league rejected the appeal, they appealed again to the high school league and the high school league granted the appeal, allowing the two teams to compete in playoffs and bumping the teams that qualified originally and were going through practice that week out. For those, I've never been in that situation. I've never seen that situation before. But for those players, for those coaches, I would say the same sort of mindset applies. If they don't have a chance to fix what they would perceive as somebody from the outside coming and taking it out of their hands, what would you say in that circumstance to those kids about maintaining a proper mindset?
Yeah, and this is like, it goes back to anything in life, you know, resilience. You know, you could either take it and grow from it, or you can let it, you know, just totally eat your lunch, you know, where you get bitter and that's a path that you don't. So you got, again, you got these two tracks that are going on in your mind. So, and this is the mental toughness side of it. You know what? And for the seniors, hey, man, it didn't happen for you guys this year, but you know what? And here's, and this is why I tell my kids this, you know, the wrestlers in high school, you know, here's the deal, man. What you do on the field is if you want to be at the top, then you have to perform at the top on the field and let your performance make all the statements in the world. Saying that this isn't fair, look, life's not fair. Welcome to planet Earth. You know, don't let it eat your lunch. If you want to be there, then pay the price. Go through this, you know, and this is why a lot of people, they don't get past the weekend golfer stage or the, you know, and get to the champion stage, because there's, you have to do the work, the hours of practice, the self-learning. These are the things that moderate the effects of emotional intrusion that allow you to perform at the highest levels and actually have fun doing it. Like, if you look at the Packers this week, man, Aaron Rodgers is laughing. He is yucky. He's having fun. And they're just putting the beat down on the Bears. They're letting their performance talk for them. You remember when Aaron Rodgers is like, hey, everybody just relax, you know. And when you get to that stage where you're an expert and you can stop with the fear and stop with the doubt, you can relax, have fun, and perform at your highest levels. And that's, you know, with those high school kids, take this as a lesson. Hey, we didn't make it in because of the appeal and all this crazy stuff with the chaos, with the fighting and all that. You know, you got to learn from it and push forward and never get in this spot again.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the Packers and Bears, because I wanted to ask you about Jay Cutler. We're hearing a lot of stuff about Cutler and Mark Trestman and who's safe and who's not in Chicago after such an embarrassing performance against a rival this week, and really after two beat-down type performances against a rival so far this season for a team that's not going to make the playoffs. And you hear a lot about Jay Cutler as a leader at the quarterback position. And because of his facial expressions on the sideline, his demeanor, the way he speaks, and it, you know, it's not vocal, and he's just not somebody that apparently people are really apt to follow. I know you need leadership. Do you believe in football? Just like, I mean, there might be some, I'm sure there are some military, similarities to this. There's some similarities in other parts of life, but you have to have leadership in that quarterback, or at least that's what we think. Do you think that's the case? Do you have to have those inherent leadership qualities to be a successful quarterback?
You definitely have to be a leader. I mean, you could. He was over there like chewing on his nails or something at one thing. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, he's just sitting over there biting his nails. Bless his heart, as Grandma used to say. But yeah, and I don't even know if it's inherent, Kwok. You can train this stuff, and no one's born a leader. And this is the deal. It's really what mental toughness is that you do a mental program where you get your emotions in check, you get your decision making in check, and you raise your level of competence and performance, and then people will follow you. If you know, he's having a meltdown or something. I don't know what's going on. There's obviously, and we talked about a little bit about team chemistry last week when we were talking about the Cavs and that unit cohesion. He's got the players. You got a great coach. Why is this thing not, no one knows why it's misfiring. So it's obviously it's what we call the intangibles, but it all comes back to the mental issue. Because every one of them had the physical skills. So it's all, you know, what did you call it that one time, getting the yips or whatever. These guys, yeah. And they're on this fear-based track that I was talking about with the novices and the experts, or the weekend golfer and the expert golfer. If you don't reroute those thoughts, thoughts come with power and electricity. But you know, you got to reroute the network and get off of the, you know, the fear-based thoughts. And you actually, they track it in your brain. That it actually runs that power. That electrical current goes to a different part of your brain, which allows you to perform better. He's stuck in that one current, or I don't know, but he is. I mean, just looking at him on the field as an outsider looking in, And who knows who else is on there. Well, I think one of the guys went off in the locker room saying this was an embarrassment a couple weeks ago. Was it Marshall that was
saying
that? I can't remember.
That was Brandon Marshall, yeah.
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 You know, I have mixed feelings about the whole leadership discussion with respect to sports. We know a good leader when we see him. We know when a good leader matters. But I think I've seen teams win without leadership as well. I think when you have an extreme level of talent, extreme level of circumstance, you know, you can win. Now, I don't know if they're losing because Jay Cutler lacks leadership. Seems like they have way more problems than Jay Cutler lacking leadership. Matter of fact, it seems like he's always lacked leadership, but he's had some successes in his career. I've seen teams that lack leadership, but they were really good at the running back position and really good at the wide receiver, or their defense was really good, but they lack leadership. I've seen teams that lack leadership at one point in the season, then they rip off 7 wins in a row. So did the leadership come? So I think in some cases it's very obvious that a team lacks leadership. But I don't think I just don't think every situation needs leadership just because I've seen teams win with poor leadership. So I don't know. What do you think about that, Andrew? Can a team with poor leadership still achieve?
Yeah, they can, but they have to step up individually, and like that's the mental toughness piece of it. Everybody to perform at the highest level and then put it all together. If everybody is doing performing at, you know, peak performance level, they're doing, and there is a mental workout. You know, people just say it's funny in sports to be like they just expect, just like leadership. Oh, we just expect that people inherently have it. You don't.
Right.
You know, just like you're not inherently, you know. Muhammad Ali wasn't born a champion. He had to do stuff to get there to do it, you know, and so he had to work and do the process, and the same thing mentally. And what you're saying, when you say leadership, every person has to lead themselves, and they have to take leadership
Absolutely.
Of their own emotions. They have to take leadership of their own physical skills. They have to take leadership of their execution of what they have to do on the field, and take leadership of their own identity.
Absolutely.
So if everybody's running on that level, it really doesn't matter who's quote in charge or being a leader. But I think everybody that wants to win and be a champion has to, at some point, at least on the inner, you know, on their self level, is take charge of themselves and be a leader.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times we see, you know, if you do things that way, then people can always just blame the leader. No, there's a level of accountability for every individual cog in that
Absolutely.
Machine.
Absolutely. And if everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody has to take responsibility for themselves.
And we know that if one cog in a machine isn't working right, the whole machine could fall apart, regardless of how well the best cog is working. And so it goes way further than just leadership. Every cog has to be held accountable. And that's probably more the problem in Chicago than just Jay Cutler.
Well, I agree with that, but you can also overcome a whole lot of stuff if your quarterback is stepping up and doing, you know, it comes down to, and I'll just say, you know, do you want Aaron Rodgers? Do you want Peyton Manning? Do you want Tom Brady? A game-winning drive, you know, comes down to the clock. Man, I don't have a problem putting those guys in. You put it, you know, and now it's Jay Cutler's on the hot seat. You're like, oh, my gosh. It's kind of like the Alabama LSU game, you know. I'm biting my fingernails. Now, you know, is Blake Sims going to pull this off or not? I don't know. A.J. McCarron did it a million times. So, you know, that guy, he still has to step up and be, you know, he's the main cog, if you will, especially in the NFL, the way it's built now. I mean, without a leader, a guy that's leading himself, I'll say, in his own performance at quarterback, the whole thing is going to kind of shut down. That's why Tim Tebow don't have a job right now.
Andrew Whitman, GetWarriorTough.com. We appreciate it. Check out his website there for all this goodness packaged in a much broader sense. Andrew, we appreciate the time as always. We look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. Thanks very much. Always love Andrew's contributions. Just a great conversation.